Amen. You know, y'all really praising the Lord this morning, aren't you? Nothing like giving God your highest praise. In his house, so good to see you this morning. You're smiling, you're looking good, you're looking blessed. Early you've heard Reverend C.C. read from Genesis, the 30th chapter, verses 34 to 43. And I'm not going to repeat that, but you can open your Bibles with us. And for our subject this morning, I want to talk from the subject of, and you turn to your neighbor and say, we don't look like much. Turn to your neighbor, turn to your other neighbor and say, we don't look like much. Y'all got a chuckle out of that. I thought you would. So, Reverend, why are you insulting us? No, it's not to insult you. But let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, we bless you. We honor you, we glorify you this morning. As we come to hear your word, we danced, we sang, we gave you our highest praise, hallelujah. And now, dear God, we want to hear a word from you. So speak to us, Lord, speak to us, that we might find insight and gain wisdom and knowledge from your word. But use me, O Lord, humble me that you might use this wretched soul, and that I forget self and rely upon you. Bless us now, O God, in Christ's name we pray this prayer. Amen. In our text this morning, we can identify and understand the significance of being in God's will. Amen. Those on the outside looking in can't possibly understand what God is doing with us. And when we consider the movement of God in this place through the lenses of the natural eye, I would venture to say that we don't look like much. I found this same thing throughout our text that has been read in your hearing this morning. In our text, my brothers and sisters, we recall how Jacob took his refuge at his uncle Laban's in Haran, escaping his angry twin brother Esau. He married Laban's two daughters, Leah and Rachel. That wouldn't go today, would it? Then Jacob wanted to go back home with his family and livestock. But Laban wanted Jacob to keep working for himself. Laban knew that the Lord blessed him because of Jacob. Because of Jacob's working for him and the anointing on Jacob's life. Somebody ought to be ready to shout in a few minutes. Finally, after many years, Jacob went to Laban and announced his decision to return to his home. He intended further to take his wives and his children and his with him. Jacob had worked for Laban for 20 years at this point. And he reminded Laban that he had more than lived up to his part of the bargain. So that he had no further moral or legal obligation to Laban. Or Laban's family. Laban, however, my brothers and sisters, was very reluctant to let him go. He had prospered greatly because of Jacob's ability and faithfulness. And he was willing to make almost any bargain that would keep him working for him. Laban even acknowledged that the Lord was with Jacob, and that it was of the Lord that he had profited to much through Jacob. And once before, he had gotten the better bargain by letting Jacob name his own wages. So now he made the same proposition again. Jacob had merely to name his price, and Laban assured him that he would meet it if Jacob would only keep on working for him. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but I like to attach myself to those who are being richly blessed by God. I don't want to be around those other folk. I want to be in the presence of those who are blessed by God. I like to be in the presence of those that walk in God's will. Every now and then those blessings begin to overshadow me. The anointing on your life will touch me. As Psalm 132, the second verse says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garments. The anointing of God will fully overshadow his servants. It will start at your head and run down to your feet. They are fully anointed. I need to spend some time in the presence of God. You remember when Peter's anointing was so strong that the Bible tells us calls to our attention that his shadow alone will fall upon those in need, and they were healed from whatever ailed them. You ought to be shouting this morning. I've got sense enough to know where God is moving. That's the neighborhood that I want to live in. So Laban asked Jacob what he wanted. And Jacob answered, let me pass through all your flock today, removing there all the speckled and spotted and all the black ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And these shall be my wages. Jacob said, let me take the cattle that appear to have some problems. Those that don't look like much. The cattle that were pure. That is to say, pure black, pure white, or pure brown. You know the ones that look real good. They will belong to Jacob's father-in-law. Those that don't look so pure and belong to Jacob, those that don't look like much, I'll take those. I feel a shout coming on this morning. Jacob would examine the flocks that day and removing all the speckled spotted animals, and catch this, my brothers and sisters, I want you to catch this. These would be set aside as Laban's property. These animals would be taken 3 days' distance and kept by Laban's sons. Therefore, only those newly born, spotted, or striped would become Jacob's property. They would have to be birthed by the pure cattle. At some later time, the herd would be examined, and the spotted and the striped animals would go to Jacob, while the rest would be Laban's. Removing the spotted and striped, which were in the flock, benefited Laban in two ways. First, it left these animals to him, not Jacob. Also, it lessened the chances of other spotted or striped animals being conceived, since they would not be mating with the other flock, the pure brown, the pure white, and the pure black. Jacob agreed that none of the solid color animals would be taken into his own flock. If any should be found by Laban and Jacob's flock, Laban would have the right to take them out. And only those future animals that would be born spotted or striped or spotted or abnormal color in some way would become Jacob's. The dominant colored trait in Jacob's and Laban's flock and herds were evidently white among the sheep, black among the goats, brown among the cattle. Most of the animals were these three colors, but there was a few that were spotted and speckled among the cattle and the goats, and brown among the sheep. And it was such as these that Jacob would be paid. No sooner had they made the agreement than Laban sent his own sons to gather all the speckled and spotted and striped sheep and goats and take them to a different pasture 3 days away, so Jacob wouldn't be able to find them. You know, Laban was always tricky. Some folk just got to be tricky, don't they? But Jacob had his own thoughts. The cattle was now separated into separate flocks, keeping the speckled and the spotted away from the normal colored animals. Only such spotted and speckled animals as would be born in the future would from the normal colored animals would become his. And since the solid colored animals were by far the more numerous, and since it was much less likely that they would bear striped and speckled offspring than those animals that were already striped and speckled or brown among the sheep, the arrangement clearly was highly favorable to the Laban and very doubtful value to Jacob. Indeed, it was an act of pure faith on Jacob's part. He had put himself entirely at God's mercy. He was in the hands of God's grace. It would be up to the Lord to indicate by a very unlikely set of circumstances whether Jacob should prosper personally or not. Sometimes you just have to leave some things in God's hands to determine whether or not you're going to be blessed or not. The practical application for the text this morning for the church is the fact that this is exactly where I see us this morning. We don't look like much compared to where many of us have come from. And based upon what we are faced with, we don't look like much. Churches that have been around for quite some time, they're watching us. Churches much larger and more comfortable, they're watching us. You may not know it, you may not see it, but they're watching us. Church vans and church buses will drive up and down your street. They're watching us. Skeptics in the household of faith don't understand us. They're watching us. Those that want to be a part of us but waiting for some sign of success, they're watching us. To those on the outside, Grand Chapel, we don't look like much. We come from various backgrounds this morning. We come with our hurts and our issues. Some come not really understanding, but you come this morning We come ready to praise and worship our God. Lift up our hands and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We come this morning just like Jacob. We don't look like much, but we come in a pure act of faith. We don't look like much, but we're leaning and depending on the Lord. We don't look like much, but God will bless our unlikely circumstances. We don't look like much, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't look like much, but when the praises go up, the blessings of God shall come down. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I come to praise the Lord. Let me call one more point to our attention this morning. Jacob knew a great deal about sheep, knew a great deal about goats and cattle. However, it was much more than Laban knew. He had kept his father's flocks for decades, and now he had been in charge of Laban's for over 14 years. And as a very observant and intelligent man, he had apparently learned something that is now referred to, if you look it up in the dictionary, called medallion genetics. I'm gonna explain that. Simply, by long continued observation of generation after generation of these animals, Jacob knew that even though a species of animals may have certain dominant traits, those traits were not permanent. Just think about life and what's happening in America today. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and palm trees, peeled the white strips in them and exposing the white which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even put them in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink. And they made it when they came to drink. So the flocks made it by the rods. And the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped, and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's. The text goes on to say that Jacob's cattle were that Jacob's cattle were stronger than Laban's. It should not be overlooked that Jacob was over 90 years old at this time. That says something else, doesn't it? Age doesn't matter. God will bless you in your youth, and he'll bless you in your old age. Sister Beulah sitting there saying, hallelujah. I see Brother Slim over there waving his hand. God will bless you. He was over 90 years old. He was very intelligent, an intelligent and careful observer. Catch this, young folk. And he had spent most of his long life raising and studying cattle, sheep and goats. Importance of the words we find in St. Mark, the 14th chapter, the 30th verse. Watch as well as pray. Here is a word for the leadership of Grant Chapel this morning. There were certain things that Jacob understood fully. He was a master at his craft or occupation. He knew how to handle the flock. And that's a message for us today. If we are to see this congregation to grow strong and healthy, we must also master our calling, church. We must be leaders of faith. We must know how to handle the word of God. We must know the word and be familiar with its content. We must know how to feed the sheep. We must study together the deep issues in God's word. We must know how to strengthen this congregation. Though this whole process, Jacob is counting on God. You've heard it said that God plus one equals a majority? We don't look like much, but if God's on your side, it doesn't matter what it, if the deck is stacked against you. We don't look like much, but if God is on your side, it doesn't matter if the game is rigged. We don't look like much, but if God is on your side, it doesn't matter if you're dealing with unscrupulous people. We don't look like much, but if God is on your side, he can take the solids of life and turn out a thousand speckled sheep. He can do it because he is God. You might find yourself getting the bad part of life in some ways. But when you trust God, God will turn it out for you anyhow. Jacob seemed to be getting a bad deal. He was only going to get the poor cattle and inferior sheep and goats. But God made up to him, and he got by far the better deal in the end. That ought to be shouting time right now. Don't you know that God can do anything? He can do anything if you trust God. Have I got a witness this morning? Have I got somebody that can testify and say that if you learn to trust and lean on God, God will take care of you. He'll fight your battles. He'll make your enemies your footstool. Somebody said he's like a bridge over troubled water. Somebody said he's the lily of the valley. Somebody said he's the bright and shining stars. Somebody said he's the rose of Sharon. Somebody said he is my all and my all. Don't you know? It's no good, my brothers and sisters, just trusting him. You could trust him, that's fine. But then you have to go on doing what you want and being disobedient with the Lord. But you got to do what God wants you to do. It's one thing to trust God. It's another thing to do what God tells you to do and what God calls you to do. There are some folk that will sit and say, I trust in God. We'll sing it every Sunday. But then you'll go home and sleep in your bed and watch TV and do what you got to do. But God says you got to get up and do what I called you to do. You got to show love to somebody. You got to witness to other folk and call them and invite them to church and say, come on, we're about the Lord's business. If you need a blessing, then you ought to come to Grant Chapel. If you need prayer, then you need to come to Grant Chapel. Don't sit there and give them a pity party and tell them, I feel sorry for you. But you get up and you tell them that if you really want to make a difference in your life, then you need to be in Grant Chapel. You need to be there where the saints are praying. You need to be there where the saints know the word of God and understand the word of God. God can do anything, can he? Somebody said, trust and obey always go together. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to trust and obey. There's no other way but to be happy with Jesus. It's to trust and obey. Have I got a witness this morning? Have I got somebody that can testify that the Lord has been good to you, that he's blessed your life, that he brought you through some difficult situations when you thought that you couldn't make it? Who delivered you? The Lord, didn't he? Somebody here this morning. Somebody here that learned to trust God, been taught to trust God, but were you obedient to God? Am I going to obey what the Lord has done. As we stand in the church, we do this every Sunday. Every time there's a service, we have what we call the invitation to Christian discipleship. Some use other names. But the matter of fact is that as a pastor, I want everybody in Grant Chapel to be saved. Because that's my duty, that's my calling. And not only just saved, but I want you to know God, to know His word in your life, and to apply it. What I've learned through life is that when I've gone through some difficult situations, I pray, open up the Word of God, and somewhere, just flipping through the Bible, God will show me a passage of Scripture that applied to my situation. Have you ever had that experience? Somebody here this morning needs to give their life to Jesus. I'm not going to beg you to come, but you need to give your life, surrender to Him. This is for you. If you're afraid, just say, look, come walk down there with me. You don't have to be alone. Anybody in the church, in this church, will walk with you. We know the Lord, so most of us. And then there's some of us that have been coming to church, but have you recommitted, rededicated your life? I come to church, but am I getting involved in the work of the church? Too often we come to church, but we don't want to get involved. Witnessing means that not only do you share it with people, but that you get involved. And it is the life that you live that is a witness to others as to the kind of Christian man or woman you are. Am I correct? If I'm wrong, let me know. But it means that I'm going to give my all to Jesus. All of us have gifts and talents. All of us are blessed. But are you using your gifts with God? Are you allowing God to use you this morning? If not, this call is for you. Don't be ashamed, because a lot of us are like that. A lot of us are like that. I remember when I was in the church, I started working, got my first paycheck. I used to go to church and get $5 on a Sunday. Then all of a sudden, I started getting involved in the church, and I said, you know something, you cheap rascal? I said, you got to do better than that. Here you are giving God $5, halfway in, halfway out. Why don't you just go forward, Reggie? And I started tithing, giving God my 10, and it didn't hurt me. You know why? Because God just continued to bless me. Not just financially, but bless me in so many ways. Gave me a beautiful wife, wonderful children, a roof over my head. And you think I'm going to cheat God on anything? And I said, I'm going to give my life, my talent, my gift, and my service to God, my time. If you haven't done that, then you search your soul and say, Lord, I want to give my life. I want to give my service to you. I want to give my time. Even if it's just an hour out of the week, give it to God. Amen. As we sing, somebody here this morning, somebody here, trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I This is altar prayer time. I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. Invite you to come, whatever your needs is, you come and you bring it before the Lord. You petition before God.
I'm going to stay on the battlefield until I die. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on.
Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, judge of all men, savior of us all, we come before you, Lord, first of all, thanking you for the breath that we have in our life. Because of that breath that you have allowed us to have today, we have another day. Another day where we can believe, where we can pray, where we can fight, where we can hold on. Another day where we can worship you in spirit and truth. Another day where we can say thank you, Lord, for the blessings of which you have bestowed upon us and poured upon our lives, God. Another day where we can just praise your holy name. For Lord, if we had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough for us to magnify your name and to praise you for your glory, God. And so we say thank you. Thank you, God, for what you have done for us this day. Thank you, God, for what you have done for us this week. Thank you, God, for what you have done for us throughout our lifetimes. Thank you, God, from the dangers of which you have shielded us from. Thank you, God, for the forgiveness of which you have granted upon us. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of which you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for the mercies of which you have shown us. For God, we all fall short of your glory. We're like filthy rags before you, but yet you love us. Like the prodigal son, you welcome us back home each and every day, each and every second of the day, no matter how many times we fall short. You say, come, my son, come, my daughter, for I have a place for you in my house. And so, God, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there is some under the sound of my voice who've been going through. Some who have family members, some who are mourning, some who are grieving, some who are hurting, some who are suffering. And so, God, right now, we know what your word says. We know that you are a giver of truth, and we know that you said in your word, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door shall be opened, seek and you shall find. And so, God, we're asking, we're knocking, and we're seeking. We're asking you to help, Lord. Help, Lord. Stretch your outstretched arm upon each and every one of us. And for, God, the place and the thing that's going on in our lives where we need help, we ask you, God, just to move in our midst, God. Some need employment. Some need a financial blessing. Some need a miracle. Be that, God. Be our Jehovah Jireh, the God who can provide. Is there anything that you cannot do? We know the answer is no. And so, God, we're standing in faith and believing, God, that you will help us. Help fight those big battles for us, God, and grant us the victories. Help us, God, even if we can't see a way, our way, make a way, God. For we know that you are a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. And because you are that, you can do it, God. It's not because of us, but it's for your name's sake. We ask you, God, to show up in our lives. Show up in our places of work, in our households, in our marriages, in our lives, in our children's lives, in our grandchildren's lives, in our family, our cousins, our nieces. Show up, God, how only you can, and help, God. And so, God, we will look up to you. We're not going to look to man or woman. We're going to look to you, God. We heard earlier today, you and us are the majority, God. So we understand that there is nothing that is impossible for you. And so, God, we're praying for a miracle right now. We're praying for a miracle right now. Open the gates of heaven, God, and pour down a miracle upon your children right now. And help, God. For any of us who are struggling, God, we pray. And God, we would be remiss if we didn't pray for those who are affected by Hurricane Irma. We know that the heavens were flooded with prayers, and we believe because of some of those prayers, her Irma moved over in another direction. And God, for people who are still in her way, God, we pray that you grant them with shelter and peace and save their lives, God. You, Lord, are a God who's able to speak to the winds and speak to the storms. So speak to Irma right now, God, and protect your children who are in harm's way. For we all know someone who's in that area, whether they're in Miami or Deltona or Orlando, God. We pray right now that you step in and protect our family, our loved ones, the people we know and the people we don't know. God, do a miracle. And God, stop those people who are trying to do price gouging or anything like that, and grant us with a heart of compassion so we can help each other. For you said, are you your brother and sister's keeper? Who is our brother? Our brother is anyone, God, who you created, and we know you are the creator of all men. So God, help us so that we may continue to stand in the gap and pray. Not only pray for our needs, but pray for the needs of those around us. Pray for the needs of those suffering, needs of those hurting, God. Help us to pray, God, and we thank you. We thank you because we know that you hear us. We know that you're a God that neither slumbers nor sleeps. And so, God, because we know that you are working, even when we're resting, you're working. Work right now. Work right now. Work right now in this storm. Work right now in this country. Work right now in this earth. God bless America. We are praying, God, for you to step in and do a new thing, God. Bind up those spirits that are not of you and loose the Holy Spirit across the land through the highways and the byways and create change. Help people remember, God, that we are created to do good things, to worship you, and help us, God, so that we may rise up and do what it is that you called us to do. And so, God, we pray that you bless this earth. We pray that you bless America. We pray that you put peace upon this earth, God, and stop this rise of hatred, God. How do we fight hatred? But with love. So grant us that gift of love. Let us show love to each other. Love so that we won't gossip. Love so that we won't stab each other in the back. Love that we will pray for each other and that we will forgive each other and that we will remember we are to be our brother and sister's keeper. So create in all of us a new heart, God, a clean heart, a heart that seeks after you. And let us be God chasers each and every second of the day. Help us, God, seek you first and the kingdom and your righteousness. And we know that all else will follow. And so, God, we say thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the help. Thank you, God, that you make ashes into beauty, God. And thank you, God, for the joy. And as we rise up, God, we will call upon your name, Jesus, and say thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you have done. And thank you for what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you rise, give someone a holy hug. Give someone a holy hug as you rise up.
For me.
Greet one another.
Gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I really love
the Lord.
For